A man one time said, "I look at Christians and I can find something wrong with them." You know, it's a fundamental fact as we look about us in the world today that we can find something wrong with everyone. Well, the conversation I'm alluding to was an interesting one in my mind because this man later became a Christian. But one thing that seemed to deter him when he thought about obeying the gospel, even after he knew that he was a sinner, and he had a conviction in his heart that he should obey the gospel, that he had been so critical in his past life about the life of Christians, finding fault and shortcoming in their lives, that the thought occurred to him that now I'll be on the other side of the fence. People will be looking at me. They'll be finding fault with my life. One day he talked to a brother in Christ who simply said, "Well, you ought to be glad that people will be looking at your life. Then you can, amid flaws that may come to every life, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." If you are a Christian today, are you having trouble in living the Christian life? I've found as I go across the country that there are many people who actually want to live for the Lord, but they've really never found out how to do it. Does that sound far-fetched to you? There are people who stand on the outside of Christ today who really want to be Christians, but they wonder if they can live the Christian life. You see, the Bible is a book that tells us not alone what the Lord wants us to do, but also tells us how to do it. And I am led to believe as I look at the Scripture time and time again that it's of vast importance to the Lord that we read the complete directions. We realize the project of Christian living that can be before us, but also read the directions in completeness and in entirety so that you'll know how to do it. I want to go to the fourth chapter of Philippians on the broadcast today, and we've been to this chapter before, as we seek to know what the Bible has to say about Christian living. Now, Paul is talking about an individual with everything in his life in verse 6, being considered with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and letting our requests be made known unto God. The first thing in Christian living is to realize that we must take God into our complete confidence. We must seek to hide nothing from God, and of course it would be folly on our part to think that we could hide anything from God. But the true course that we have through the hotline to heaven, namely prayer, is the thing that enters into the picture. It's interesting to me that in this sixth verse, the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul uses the word supplication in referring to a certain characteristic of prayer. I have been told by those who are in a position to know that an intercession is basically a prayer or a part in a prayer that deals with the needs of someone else. You're praying for them. But a supplication is that which deals with your own needs. This being true, Paul is speaking here directly to the life of each individual Christian at Philippi, and it comes home to us today that we would consider every step in our life, regardless of what it might be, with prayer. Why should we only consider spiritual things when we're actually thinking about prayer? Why should prayer only be associated with spiritual things? Why shouldn't it be associated with every activity of our life? You know, after all, Jesus was the one who put the proverbial price tag upon the soul. He said, "What is a man profited if he gain the whole world?" That's physical. "And lose his soul?" That's spiritual. What could he give in exchange for his soul? What of a physical nature or a human nature could he give that would be equal to the soul? So if we pray to God for spiritual things, then we're taking a step upstairs, so to speak. Why just pray for physical things? Why not pray for spiritual things as well? It's much more important that the Spirit be alive, that it may direct the course of our life physically. Now, I know our spirit's not going to die, but when I use that term, I mean that our spirit would be in full attune and full accord, full tune and full accord with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Paul tells us how to do this. He promises if we make our request known unto God with supplication and thanksgiving, that his peace will be with us. And it's a peace that passeth all understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then the catalog that we gave you a few weeks ago is a constant and we might say wonderful injection of truth and we might say the quality of Christian living into our life. You know, the input that we can gain from the Word of God is that which will fill our life so completely that we will not have an occasion, may we say, to really give place to the devil. I think that's the solution to the whole problem. When he says, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and have virtue connected with them, in verse 8, if there be any praise, think on these things. So it all begins with your mind. You know, I've talked to people all over the country, and every so often someone comes up with a question, why is the Bible so negative? Why do preachers constantly say, don't do this and don't do that? One man said to me one time, you know, before I knew what the church really believed, I had heard what it didn't believe. And I believe that sometimes the wrong impression is left in the minds of people who seek to observe the Christian life. They keep hearing all the negative things. And yet, I believe the Bible is styled in such a fashion that when God truly says no, and he does say no, let's just continue to read and to ponder and to consider. And we'll find what God says yes. He wants us to clean the debris away from our life, to begin with a new foundation, to build upon that foundation of faith, and to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, knowing that these things, if they are in us and abound, they're going to make us that we'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sequence is found in the first chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 5. So the point is that we put into our life the qualities that are spiritual and are good and are of benefit. And this does not give us the occasion to let the devil reign in our life. I always thrill when I read that famous sixth chapter of Romans, because I am led to believe that the apostle says there that we are not to serve sin, because we've been made free from sin. The old man has been crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Also in that chapter you'll find that he simply tells the Christians at Rome, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Or you are not under the dominion of sin. That domain is gone. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been translated into that kingdom of light, or the kingdom of his dear Son. So the input is what we're talking about on the broadcast today. There are four things that I want to leave with you before we close today that I trust you'll think sincerely about. We must constantly have contact with God and his Word. So it has been suggested, and this, of course, is not original with me. It comes from minds that have meditated diligently upon God's Word. We must have a contact with God through prayer. First of all, let our association with God be upon a daily basis. No wonder Paul told the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 to pray without ceasing. So there's contact above with God. And then let's look down at the pages of God's Word, and let's realize that we are to alert ourselves, as Paul told Timothy, when he used the word study in 2 Timothy 2:15, he was referring to Timothy alerting himself to the work that was before him, and a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. We should make the Bible a daily feature of our life in reading and thinking about it. Remember David's old statement? His delight was in the law of the Lord, because in that law did he meditate day and night. And again in the 119th Psalm in verse 130, it so ably puts it, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simpler, to the unlearned. And then we have both sides that we can view today. The side, first of all, of those upon our left that are about us as humans, and those upon our right. We must have contact with people who are in the world about us, and first of all our contact with our brethren. A person will never grow for the Lord and develop spiritually unless he has a respect and an honor, not alone for himself, but certainly for his fellow man. So the disciples were told to not forsake the assembling of themselves together, as we have in Hebrews 10:25. This not alone brought them in contact with God and his word, but in contact with their brethren. And then there's one other dimension, since we've been up and down and in and out on both sides, and that's the in connection. That's with ourself. Ask yourself the question as you listen to this broadcast today, if you are a Christian, how much have I grown spiritually in the last year, the last 5 years? If you're not a Christian, you truly can't live this Christian life unless you get on his side in his kingdom. Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ that you believe he is the Son of God, and follow that with baptism into Christ. Well, the point is that if we fill our life full of these wonderful teachings and then do as Paul says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Galatians or Philippians 4 and 9. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. It's been good as we look at Know Your Bible, to know that the Bible not alone tells us we should live for Christ, but it tells us how to do it. Now, you may have questions about this subject, so feel free to send them in. Address a card or letter, a card will do, to the congregation that brings you this broadcast or to the station upon which you're hearing it. And we trust indeed that you will be in the house of the Lord, and there you can ask those questions, and I know there'll be a Bible answer given. May God bless you as you obey that marvelous and wonderful truth.